This episode of the Missed Spots podcast is brought to you by Amazon Prime, the amazing service from Amazon that allows you to get free two-day shipping on nearly every item available on their website, plus access to Amazon Prime Music and Prime Video service with tons of movies and TV shows, including the acclaimed original series Transparent, starring Jeffrey Tambor. Now you can get a free three-month trial of Amazon Prime by going to missbots.com/prime. Plus, if you do that, Amazon's going to throw in a free three-month trial of HBO on your Prime Video. Nothing else you have to say or do. You get that for free with this trial as well. That way you can catch up on Game of Thrones, Westworld, or you can watch anything from HBO's amazing back catalog, like The Sopranos, The Wire. It's all there for you. After your trial, you can pay just $99 for the entire year of Prime. Trust me, that sounds like a lot, but as a Prime member myself, that money more than pays for itself in just two-day shipping after just a couple of months. So head over to missspots.com/prime. right now and try Amazon Prime for free for 3 months and join what practically everyone should be a part of, Amazon Prime.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the free event.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
Welcome back to the Missed Spots podcast on MissedSpots.com, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn, and Geek Life Radio. My name is Mike, and with me as always is the Billy Kay to my Peyton Royce. Here's Kevin.
And here's a fun fact for you. The person that ended up spelling Iconics is the same person who ended up spelling Rhino for the WWE.
That makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense, right?
And congratulations to that guy for being the most illiterate person to hold on to a job at a major company.
For many, many years.
Yes.
I mean, many, many years. Congratulations.
Yes. To you, sir, we salute you. Well, we got an episode of Raw and an episode of SmackDown to go over with you guys as we are well on our way to Survivor Series at this point in time.
We are on our way to Survivor
Series.
Yes, we are.
SummerSlam first.
Technically, we're always on the road to everything. So yes. We're on the road to WrestleMania. We're on the road to WrestleMania 43 as well. It's a long
build,
and we're going to see Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns for that event as well.
Probably. So why don't you take us right into Monday Night Raw, Kevin?
Well, speak of the devil, Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, definitely the focal point of this episode of Raw. The crowd was very much behind Roman Reigns. He got a very positive reaction, I felt, from the crowd. Actually, out of Miami, Florida, Mike. I did not realize that Raw was in town. For those who don't know, Mike and I both currently, at least, live in South Florida. But I did not know they were coming to town. This was a fine... Roman Reigns has had some pretty good promos recently. I didn't think this was one of the better ones.
No, I
am not the kind of person who gets really excited when someone says the word bitch.
Yeah.
But apparently that's just like it's a cheat code for the best promo in the world, because if you say the word bitch and drop a microphone, you're totally a badass. And that definitely won over the crowd. It didn't win me over. I feel like it's really cheap and kind of stupid.
It definitely is. And this, to me, was that typical Roman promo that we usually rag on and hate. It is him trying to be cool, trying to be with it and hip, and then, yeah, dropping the B-bomb that the WWE likes to use, because I believe they can actually get away with using it once or twice an episode and still maintain that PG rating.
on TV, so it's their kind of go-to when they want to feel a little edgy.
It's just so formulaic, and it's so obviously a idea to make Roman cool and a badass. When Roman Reigns, for all of his flaws and all the problems with his booking over the past 3 years, is a badass. You know, you look at someone like Samoa Joe and his promo on SmackDown, that was a bad motherfucker.
Yeah.
Okay. Now he's a heel and Roman's a babyface, at least in name. That's the kind of badass that Roman Reigns could be. And once or twice over the last year or so, he's cut a promo that sounded like it came out of his mouth. Last night was not one of them. The Finn Balor and Constable Corbin.
Constable.
Yeah.
You have the hardest time with that word.
What did I say?
Constable.
Well, that's because I'm from Michigan. That's my accent.
Okay.
I have a hard A. Baron Corbin and Finn Balor, Mike, had yet another interaction, yet another match, with nothing on the line and no purpose for it. Corbin actually goes over clean in this match after a longer match. Is this something that has grabbed your attention at any point? What are your thoughts on where this is at right now?
It did nothing for me at the time of it. I actually think that they did a little bit of a possible setup for something between Roman and Baron for later on in the evening that could come into play some point down the road. But yeah, this whole Corbin and Finn thing has been dead in the water pretty much since the beginning.
It's giving both of them something to do, I guess, but it just hasn't grabbed me. Corbin doing some similar stuff to what he did on NXT when he was feuding with Apollo Crews is in theory a very good idea because it was some of the best work that Corbin's ever done. But he hasn't really pushed the fact of Finn being on the independents and getting success outside of the WWE, he's pushed the fact that he's short.
Yeah.
Finn
pushes the fact that he wears a vest.
Yeah, they're just so superficially stupid, and you don't need that. It's something we've seen over and over again. This could be going much more heated. There could be much more behind this, and we just get this very surface level garbage. And overall, pretty pedestrian in-ring work as well, I would say. At least the storytelling hasn't been great.
Yeah, I agree.
And speaking about poor in-ring work, Alicia Fox. She's back. Her gorgeous Northern Light suplex is still in tow, and it continues to be the only thing she can even do passably.
Even when she attacked Ronda Rousey from behind after the match, it didn't look convincing to me.
Almost nothing that she does is very convincing. Alicia Fox is a throwback to, obviously, an excellent athlete in her own right, but not a great wrestler in any way, shape, or form. Alicia Fox is a throwback to the bad old days of the Divas division. And we actually saw some remnants of that on SmackDown as well, unfortunately. Alexa interfering, leading to Alicia Fox getting the win here. That's fine. Natalya's not going anywhere. This is all obviously to push the Ronda Rousey feud and then using Alicia Fox as another stepping stone, another roadblock for Alexa Bliss. The one thing that I had to point out here, though, is it's my continuous frustration with inconsistent selling and inconsistent storytelling and kind of making Ronda look weak. Ronda Rousey gave Alicia Fox her finisher that I still don't know what it's called, and I still think it looks really dangerous every time she does it, which Ronda Rousey is supposed to be the baddest woman on the planet, giving her what should be a really protected finisher. Alicia Fox was up in about 35 seconds.
Yeah.
And knocking Ronda down on the outside with one of the weakest forearms I've ever seen to the back of the neck. Why Alicia Fox particularly, but anyone really, is getting up out of that finish in 35 seconds and not selling that is beyond me. And it doesn't matter. No one's ever going to remember it. Yada, yada, yada. It's the little things that sell a wrestler and a feud and the little things that build a story.
And just the presentation of the product in general.
Yeah, it continues to be so... It all comes down to what's convenient to the storytelling, and they just don't put that kind of thought into it, and the product suffers consistently because of it.
Yeah, I agree with you, and it's just becoming a weekly thing. You could have been right there, is that we might be looking into this a little too much, but, you know, that's what we like in wrestling, and that's what we enjoy, is when there is a little more attention to detail. I mean, I don't even think you need attention to detail for something like that, which is just selling a move that is supposed to be portrayed as a finisher, a world ender. That's poor writing, and that's poor attention.
Without a doubt. Who is scripting Bobby Lashley's segments? Because whoever it is hates Bobby Lashley. And Bobby Lashley needs to find this person and apologize for whatever he did to them in the past. Because there was a glimmer of hope. For me, about 3 weeks ago, when I thought Lashley delivered the best promo he's had since coming back, he was in the middle of a feud that might have put him in line for a title opportunity for what we would consider to be a completely fresh match. And I was of the opinion, you know what? Let's do it. Bobby Lashley is not a person. He is a CGI'd character. I understand that. But listen, I saw the Matrix movies. Those can work out well. This was something that I was actually on board for about a week. And after losing to Roman Reigns, they have him go out there and sing with Elias in just pure cringeworthiness. Not only was it a dumb segment, not only did Bobby Lashley, was it unentertaining and uninteresting, he's also continues to be booked as a fucking idiot. Why would he go out there and sing with Elias, who's obviously a bad guy that is going to hit him with his damn guitar? It is so stupid. I despise Bobby Lashley right now, and I want him to lose because he's a moron, and he needs to be taught a lesson. That's what I got out of that segment.
Well, apparently it was such a bad segment that it was not included on the 90-minute edition of Raw that I had to watch on Hulu because I missed last night's episode. So, yeah, that wasn't included in the show, and I'm very glad that it was not, from what you explained to me, because that sounds awful.
It was garbage. It was poorly written, poorly executed, poorly
everything. And Elias did hit him with the guitar?
Of course. He came out to sing, and I'm not even, you already know too much. The Jinder Mahal and Braun Strowman match was a non-match where Kevin Owens got Braun's attention and basically led to a count-out victory.
Just to show that Braun can lose a match.
Just to show that Braun can lose a match via count-out. We understand that. I don't necessarily know this is a way to do it, but it filled up a bit of time that could have been used for something more productive. So at least there's that. Mm-hmm. Raw was a pretty rough episode in a lot of ways this week, but my favorite thing, and this goes to show you, and I know that there are some people that listen to us and follow us on Twitter and all of our cynicism and say, well, what do you guys like? Right, you're always ripping on WWE, and you got this, you hate a character, you hate a person, and you just, nothing they'll ever do will ever please you. Mojo Rawley continues to be on an upward trajectory of being presented as a more interesting, a more complex, and a better character overall. The backstage segment where he's kind of ripping on the jobbers, if you will, of the company and getting into a confrontation with Bobby Roode, using the line, what are you going to do, catchphrase me to death or something to that nature, was extremely well executed. It was short. It was sweet. It showed us a setup to a feud. It did it in a creative way without a stupid tag team match. well executed, well done, and you took a character who I despised and never wanted to see on my TV, and now I want to know what happens next week. Wonderful. This is all we asked for.
Yeah, and I think we've been pretty transparent about this the past couple weeks, that they have been doing a good job with his character development. We just will still always make the joke that his name is still Mojo Rawley.
It is, it's true.
But we give credit where credit's due, and they are doing a good job with handling him right now and his actual character. And, I mean, putting him in there with someone like Bobby Roode as well gives Bobby Roode something to do that forces him to get out of the whatever funk that he was in as just being the guy with a catchphrase and a theme song.
Well, we still don't necessarily have any guarantee that's going to happen, but at least we're trending in the right direction there. There is a particular tag team on Raw. Actually, we could probably use this for all tag teams on Raw. They're all basically trending in a downward trajectory. The Authors of Pain are now... We had a tag team... a singles match with Apollo Crews and I believe Akam.
Yeah. Okay.
I always forget which one's which. But we had a singles match between the two. We have Apollo Crews going over in this. We now have had the Authors of Pain lose a fluke match to Titus Worldwide. We have one of them lose a singles match to Apollo Crews in relatively short order. Why are these guys dangerous? Are they special? Are they unique? Did they even need to be called up to the main roster? So far, the answer to all those questions is no. Mm-hmm. They're just the Ascension. They're just another group of guys with nothing interesting about them, nothing unique about them, nothing to make you want to care. No introductory vignettes, none of this. We talked about this a few times before, but we continue this trend. They can't even beat guys who get beat by everyone.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you can go.
No, I'm good. Go ahead.
Kevin, do you remember a couple years ago when WWE repackaged Braun Strowman and turned him into an absolute monster?
Yes.
Why have they been unable to get that worked and do that with other people who they want to portray as monsters?
I have no idea. I don't know why they continue to cut off their nose despite their faces. I don't know why everything has to be 50-50 booking. There's never going to be those massive stars ever again if you never treat anybody like they're special. And I don't know that the Authors of Pain would ever be special. I always felt that they were lacking quite a bit in NXT. They needed to have their deficiencies masked a little bit. And you certainly don't do that by stripping them of their manager. I know that might not have been their choice, but stripping them of their manager and not giving them a replacement and putting them in pointless singles matches and trouncing them out for 2 minutes on Raw. Another thing that I just have to say, I don't ever want to see the Authors of Pain ever in a singles match. They're a tag team. They do tag team wrestling. Let them be a tag team.
Yeah.
I hate it. I hate the countless examples of the singles match with the guys in the tag team division. Make the tag team division special.
I mean,
they're good at what they do because that's the way that they do it. They're singles wrestlers.
How often did we see Hawk and Animal in singles matches?
Once again, it was a different time. The show's presented differently now, but it worked. Mm-hmm. And it could work now. And anyone who says it can't work now is an idiot.
Yeah.
Really good match between Drew McIntyre and Seth Rollins. We know these guys can go. We know that they can be exciting. The dynamic was actually the second time we've seen them in singles action now, so we know what they can do. Dolph intervening to save his partner. It's fine, but borderline already.
It was what I expected to see.
Yeah.
And they're not going to let they're not going to let Seth really take a pinfall in this right now. And they seem to be really trying to protect Drew from taking pinfalls as well. So when it all was said and done, that this was expected to me. and I was fine with it.
Yeah, it should have come across as something more than filler, and that's what it felt like to me. The Revival getting involved with the Woken Bunch in the B team, I think this is a good thing because I love the Revival, but everything about the presentation of this, everything about just Matt Hardy looks like he's made out of glass. The pairing of him and Bray Wyatt is so uninspired and so uninteresting at this point that it's comical in the bad way. The B team are the only ones that look really good around here because there's actual enthusiasm when they're saying their words. There's something to get behind in the way that they've been presented. And the Revival, we know how great they can be, but they continue just to be out there. Yes, they got the win over the Woken Bunch. I'm guessing we're going to get a triple threat match at SummerSlam. They just need to push this division. There's talent here. Push it. Make it special. And the Revival, I think, are the team to do it. But at this point, I still don't know if they can be saved.
Yeah, I don't know. There has been a lot of damage done to them already, and a lot of that thanks to Bobby Lashley and Roman Reigns. I don't know. This tag team division is a mess to me in comparison to SmackDown's.
100%.
And it's funny because I feel like it was the opposite at one point, because a lot of the guys who are on SmackDown now were on Raw, and they were the tag team division at one point. But I don't know, man. I want to see good things for the Revival, and I want to see good things for Bowen and
yes,
Axel right now, because they've been entertaining. They are talented workers, and they have good charisma, and they work well off of one another.
I would so much rather see Matt and Bray having nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
I'd rather see a straight two-team program here, mm-hmm. but we're not going to get it. We have, speaking of tag teams, Sasha and Bayley are a tag team now. They're a tag team without a division to be a tag team in, which I think is unique.
Odd.
I mean, it's a unique take on that. I know we've had the Riot Squad and Absolution. Have we had them? I don't know. But we've had factions, so to speak. They continue to push the idea that Sasha and Bayley were at any point a team of some sorts. They weren't. They are now. Okay, cool. That's fine. Bayley pins Liv Morgan. Anything to say about any of that?
No.
Apparently, Sarah Logan is still a Viking. So that's
And that continues to have conversations with Michael Cole about it.
Yeah, and put that under your hat, Mike. That's good information to have. The final segment was the Brock Lesnar-Paul Heyman segment. We had this whole thread going through the show of Brock being shitty to Paul Heyman, which I thought was a really, really good way. As much as everyone loves to boo Paul, everyone loves Paul Heyman, is excited every time they see him. So I think that they've really presented Brock as a heel. And I think they did a lot over the last several weeks and over this episode to make him a heel, to make him someone that the fans should despise, that they have reason to despise. And it was very effective. We've got We Want Roman chants at the end there. Once again, the crowd was pretty hot for Roman all night.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of to be expected, but really well done. They've done a good job of presenting Brock Lesnar, and they're setting themselves up to get the kind of reaction they want at SummerSlam, which many people might have thought was impossible a few months ago.
They'll screw it up. They always do. Like, I can't remember which of the many times that we had Roman and Brock that they got close to it before. Where they actually got the people behind Roman for a couple weeks, and then they ultimately did something that screwed it up. But yeah, when this was all said and done, I was feeling a little bit like I wanted to get behind Roman too, because I like Paul, and I hated seeing Paul get pushed around. And Brock saying, "You're not my friend." I'm like, "Oh, that sucks."
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, we'll see. I did enjoy that whole story pretty much through the whole show.
And just as an aside, Brock F5-ing Kurt Angle, I couldn't care less. Kurt Angle is one of the dumbest GMs you could possibly have. He consistently makes terrible decisions. He's bullied down by Stephanie McMahon. He's pointless. He's a pointless character doing pointless things pointlessly.
Speaking of being bullied by Stephanie McMahon, does Stephanie not have his cell phone number? Because I feel like it's always Baron going... with his own phone. Yeah, Stephanie wants to talk to you. Or does Kurt not own... well, no, we know he has a cell phone. We see him always looking at stuff on it. Or maybe he changes it very often because he wants to stay off the grid of sorts.
Well, yeah, he mostly uses burner phones. It's for his other business. He doesn't like to talk about it.
But anyway... That was, I think, the one of the good parts about Raw was the most of the Roman promo at the beginning I thought was bad, but everything else built around that story through the rest of the evening I enjoyed.
You had that in the Mojo Rawley bit, and that's about it.
Yeah. Heading into SmackDown Live, we had a lot of in-ring... interviews and promo work done during this episode, and we kick things right off with Becky and a really nice heartfelt promo about how much she has worked towards getting a shot at the title that she hasn't held in a couple years, and I really, really enjoyed that. And then Carmella came out. And what I was saying on Twitter was she was doing an Alexa Bliss here by playing up some fake sincerity about how she feels the fans treat her and what she's done to work up to where she's at, and Becky helping her along the way. But Ellsworth's music hits as a distraction, but no actual James. And this leads to a Carmella attack.
I love this episode of SmackDown. I thought it was really solid, almost top to bottom. And whoever was writing the promos for Miz and Bryan, for Joe, for Carmella and Becky, let's get them to write the promos for everybody, because they were all really well done. I love the Becky Lynch stuff. I love them mentioning the history. She hasn't held the title since this date. You have all this, use it, right? Let's not forget everything and throw it in the bin. I loved Carmella doing her swerve. She was the most believable I've ever heard her on the microphone. Mm-hmm. And I think she did a great job in this promo. And I think in general, they set this up really, really well. So I thought this was really, really well done.
Yeah, it really did sound like her talking there. And maybe she was even getting a little bit choked up, and good for her for, like, that's what acting is supposed to be. So good on her. This attack led to Charlotte coming out for the save. And we receive word later on that Carmella is going to take on Charlotte in a one-on-one match. And if Charlotte wins, she will be entered into the title match at SummerSlam to make it a triple threat. Because, of course, all the big pay-per-views got to be multi-person matches. And we got a story about this as well with Becky being like, you know, she's my friend, but I want this one-on-one match. So playing up her not being really sure who she should be rooting for in this.
All in all, I'm not a fan of adding... Charlotte to this match, because as much as I love Charlotte, I don't like triple threat matches as much as I love singles matches, and I think that Becky deserves this one-on-one shot, but the storyline around it was good.
Yeah, I agree. We got the Usos against the Bar in a really good tag team match in this number one contendership tournament. The New Day were on their own commentary table and were spliced into the commentary, the audio, every once in a while throughout the match. That was odd, but it didn't take away from a really fun tag team match that the Bar won.
I really enjoyed that aspect of it, and I enjoyed it because I hadn't seen it before, because they were treating them like they were the Spanish announce team, essentially, and not providing commentary for the whole match.
Yeah,
I thought that, in general, they did a good job and were funny. There were some really good lines in there that I thought were really well done.
And what did then, Kofi consider himself, like, the adequate guy with
the pecs? The weird pecs.
The weird pecs, that was it.
Which was really funny. I thought that was really well done, and we had what was a excellent match between two wonderful teams. We've seen them go at it so many times. And just seeing what great pacing and great timing can do when you have the ability and you have the kind of in-ring workers. By the end, the flourish of that finish, we saw things we hadn't seen before, or at least spots that we haven't seen before. It wasn't just going through the motions. Well done. Excited for the Bar. Excited to see him back on TV. We've missed them.
Oh, yeah. Certainly have missed them. And we'll get to probably see them have a really nice match with the New Day. Samoa Joe came out and cut a killer promo. I feel like I describe his promos anytime he gets some mic time as killer, because they scare me, like, to a certain point. Like, he stares directly into that camera, and I feel like he looks directly at me sometimes, and I'm like, oh God, he wants to murder me. And every word that he says sounds believable as him saying it, and I just eat it all up.
Joe's great. He's been missed every time he goes off TV. I know he's had injury issues here or there, and then it's not being used because they didn't have anything for him creatively. This situation with him and AJ Styles is something that we had assumed they were setting up months ago. This is a great feud. I love that this was just a promo segment. We're going to get AJ's response next week. They're not putting them in the ring too much together. They're holding off the anticipation. Really good build that way. And when anytime a guy can get it on the microphone and do what Joe did, that he's talking people into the building. He's making people care about it. And I love it. This was just so well done.
Yeah, absolutely. Another in-ring promo after that with Jeff Hardy coming out challenging Randy Orton, but this just leads to another beatdown for Jeff. Nakamura getting in on it a little bit, but almost as if Randy let him do it, but wanted him to know, hey, this is my fight of sorts, and then just thrashing Jeff around ringside.
So I'll start with the bad first.
Okay.
The bad is that Shinsuke Nakamura is the U.S. champion, and that he is not in any way the focal point of this story. He's a side character. That kind of sucks for Shinsuke. He's been so poorly taken care of on the main roster for so long. It just, I want him to get his due, and he can't even get it when he turns heel and gets a title. I think that's a shame.
Mm-hmm.
Now for the good. Man, do I love Randy Orton right now.
Yeah.
This is another guy, we talked about it last week. He was snooze-inducing and a bathroom break for months. Uninspired and uninteresting. What they're doing with him now is inspiring and unique in some ways and vicious. Him not delivering the RKO. Perfect. What a great heel. The little menacing nuances he has, wonderful. Good for you, Randy Orton. Good for you. You're the best right now.
Never, ever, ever, ever make Randy Orton a face ever again. Did I get enough Evers in there?
But not. It's not only. Listen, Randy has been a pretty boring heel as well over the last 5 or so years. So it's not just him being a heel. It's what they're doing with him right now. And I think it's just, it's excellent. It shows he is such an excellent performer, but you cannot work with garbage. He has been delivered garbage to do for years now. And it looks like he's breaking out with new enthusiasm, and I'm so excited and so enjoying watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I have no interest in Jeff Hardy whatsoever. No. I think I mentioned this last week. I have none, but I care about him now because of what Randy Orton's doing.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's a way to build up sympathy for a person, is having the one delivering the destruction be enticing.
Mm-hmm.
So good job to them for that. We got, I believe you alluded to this when talking about Raw, the Lana and Zelina Vega match as being a throwback to the Diva years.
Lana just does not belong in a ring right now. I'm sorry. She has obvious charisma. She no longer has an accent, which I think is a good move.
It's very mild. Like on certain words, it's there.
But I obviously they were so high on her at one point. I think it's a shame they never really pulled the trigger on her in the way that they could have, or Rusev, obviously, for that matter. But she's a liability. There was nothing good about the match with Zelina Vega. I don't know if Zelina Vega can work or not. This match certainly didn't make it seem like that, but it could have been a result of being in there with someone so green. Is Zelina Vega, was she an actual performer on the Independence?
Okay. Yes, she is.
And is she known to be a good worker?
I don't know. I've never seen any of her work before. I did just know that she was... a worker. I believe she was in Ring of Honor.
Okay. So I hope that we have better things to see from her. She's been such a compelling piece to Andrade Cien Almas, which I think is wonderful, by the way. I love that they're using them and utilizing them. They're really a good addition to SmackDown. But yeah, Lana's just tough. She's tough to watch in there. I mean, the finish. She was on the middle rope and... there's no timing there. There doesn't seem to be any really understanding of how to move in a wrestling ring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we did see Aiden involved in there, so that just led to more stuff with Rusev, Aiden, and Lana collectively. Then we got the Daniel Bryan and Miz promo that kind of touched slightly on earlier. Brian came out with fire, just wanting a fight, wanting to punch Miz in the face as he has wanted to do for so long now. And Miz was on set for filming his TV show. And he came back with been a thing that Miz has been doing, making good points about things that are true to somewhat true, and it's really building up the anticipation of seeing these two fight. And hopefully, Brian did challenge him to a match at SummerSlam, but Miz pretty much blew that off. They could have done without the baby crying bit, but still, this was a great segment. And I really hope that they can just, I know that they're going to want to have them actually physically touch each other before SummerSlam. Please fight all urges to make them touch each other physically until SummerSlam.
Well, they already had, they had it last week, but I think the big thing is to keep them out of a match with each other.
I think that's what I'm more meant.
Yeah, let's not have them in a pointless tag match. Let's make sure we build up the anticipation. This is one of those feuds that makes so much sense, where you see both competitors, you see their opinions. They both have validity to them in a lot of ways. Yes, Miz is part of his delusional, because he's a heel, right? He needs to have a skewed way of looking at the world. But so passionate, Miz is such a great promo, and this does not have to be a 5-star match to be a 5-star feud, because they have such real world things built into it. You really believe the animosity. And you don't get that very often.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as much as listen, I don't believe in any way, shape, or form that Roman Reigns hates Brock Lesnar, right? It's a wrestling storyline. But the great storylines over the years, the ones that really touch home, that really mean something, have a ring of truth to them, and that's what this has, and that's what I can't wait to see.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you took an incredible segment with great workers, great talkers that we can't wait to see get in the ring with each other, and you put a stupid baby crying graphic over it. Why are you so dumb, WWE? You ruined everything about the tension and the moment there by doing it. I can't understand who thought that would be a good idea.
And you know, what Miz said right after, just the like, wah, wah, like in his mocking tone, that would have been just fine. You could have had Miz just say that and it would have gotten the same point across. But yeah.
They love to put stupid jokes up on the screen. That's their thing.
Yeah. But really great segment. And then we finish things off with Charlotte and Carmella. Charlotte wins. And she is now going to be entered into the match at SummerSlam. Yeah, just throwing people into matches. Like I said earlier, if it's a big pay-per-view, we can always rely on them making multi-person matches.
And ones that aren't really deserved. I mean, yes, Charlotte was basically screwed out of her title kind of twice, and she does have a legitimate claim to going up against it and getting a shot at the champion, but Becky made a point. She worked to get back up the ladder and beat people and earn that shot. And she did it. And the fact that she's not getting that just kind of pisses me off a little bit. And I think it makes it less interesting unless they've got a really great angle lined up for Becky and Charlotte. But I would have been fine. I would have loved to see Charlotte go. Should we just see a backstage segment go? And you know, once you beat Carmella for that title, I'm next in line for that shot.
Mm-hmm.
That would be just as good, if not a better use of those bodies, if you know, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And you could then build that. You could have Charlotte turn heel then on Becky after that match and set up something for them and have probably a fantastic feud with the fiery baby face that seemingly everyone in the crowd loves and Becky Lynch and Charlotte, who works so much better as a heel, and the former friends.
Yep.
But just got to throw bodies on the card, because everyone deserves to have a match.
Well, Charlotte's a star and yeah, they know it. And she's also been gone for a while. She's cleared to wrestle. I don't blame them for wanting to include her. I want to see Charlotte Flair wrestle. I think she's obviously a hell of a talent. Little ring rust, obviously, during this match, but that's to be forgiven. But I would much rather... The story they were telling before was so much better than the story we have now, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. And you know, they have this all women's pay-per-view coming up, to where we mentioned they're going to have to start writing other storylines for people. This would have been a perfect time to write Charlotte another storyline and show, hey, we can have multiple women angles going on at the same time.
Yeah.
But no, laziness comes through again.
Laziness. You tell me.
So that does it for SmackDown. That does it for TV. I'm going to have to get caught up on NXT now that, like, Tommaso Ciampa is the champion.
I know. It's crazy. I mean, I very shocked to when I saw that, mostly because I thought Aleister Black was a fine champion, and it seems like a hot shotting of the title so that they can put it into his feud with Gargano.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not opposed to it, by the way, because what those guys have done in the ring so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, NXT's not, when they do stuff like that, I don't feel like it's hot shot. Like, I don't feel like, have a negative connotation to it. I feel like, when Almas.
Everything has a reason and a purpose.
Well, and yeah, when Almas won the title, I was dumbfounded of why they decided to do it. And he did a great job with that championship. It's not like when they put it on Jinder. So it just goes to show you the difference between really solid booking. And we saw that, like we mentioned earlier, we had a similar kind of storyline with Baron Corbin in NXT that worked really well and made him compelling and interesting. They try to do a similar type storyline in the main roster, and it's crap.
Yeah.
I mean, they have, I would have no problem if they just repeat the same promos, do the same exact stuff, just with different people. I'd be fine with that. I would actually, at this point, encourage it.
Yeah, it would work. I'd be all for it too. It'd be like, oh, he's gonna say that thing, and they're gonna do this. Yeah. I know, because I've seen it, and it works again. Yeah. But yeah, I've gotta try to find some time for myself to get caught up on all of that. It feels like forever since I've watched an episode of NXT. Just so much going on. Anything else you want to talk about before we sign off?
No, sir. I think I'm good.
All right. Well, thanks everyone once again for tuning in and checking us out. Make sure that you check out our social media outlets, such as following us on Instagram and Twitter at Miss Spots. We're always live tweeting along to Raw, SmackDown, and the pay-per-views. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/MissSpots. You can listen to this podcast in one of many different wonderful fashions, whichever one works out best for you, such as our website, MissSpotsPodcast.com, or simply MissSpots.com. You can also subscribe to us and listen to us on many of the other major streaming services for podcasts, such as iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Podcast, TuneIn, Overcast, Podcast Addict, any of those. You can subscribe and get new episodes delivered to the device of your choice every Thursday free of charge. You can also listen to us on Geek Life Radio every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on geeklifradio.com. For Kevin, my name's Mike. We'll catch you guys next week. Good night. Good wrestling.